My guest on Simply Folk is Martha Redbone and her guitarist Alan Burrows, and we're not in any studio. We are on the Roots and Reasons stage of the 2013 Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival. Well, welcome to Wisconsin, Martha and Alan.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.
Every year on this stage, this Roots and Reasons stage, we have some in-depth workshops and conversations with musicians about the roots of their music and the reasons behind their music, the traditions. And so before we go any further, I'd like to ask you about your background, because it's quite rich culturally and musically. So why don't you tell us about your background?
Definitely not financially. my family from Black Mountain, Kentucky, and Harlan County, to be more specific, coal mining country. And my grandpa was a coal miner. And these, it's so funny, ironic, because I was just saying this last night. These were things that I used to hide about myself when we moved back to New York City. You know, being like what people consider from hillbilly country, you know, is not the cool thing, you know.
Now it is the cool thing.
Now I guess it is, yeah, right?
And you have heritage that's Native American?
Yes, my mom was Shawnee, Choctaw, and Cherokee. And our family have been in those mountains since the beginning of time, pretty much. And my dad is African American from North Carolina, Robeson County.
And you were saying it's not necessarily common knowledge that there are African Americans in them thar hills.
That's right. That's true. That's very true. Actually, there have been, you know, just all nationalities who came to work in those mines well over 100 years. My grandpa came up to work in the mines in the late 30s, and that's when he met my grandma. But, you know, we were always there.
We're going to talk a little bit about your newest recording, which is really interesting. It's based on the poetry and songs and writings of Englishman William Blake, who was born in 1797. Yeah. But before we get started talking about that, why don't we hear something? What would you like to start with from that recording?
Okay. The album was produced by our friend John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his work.
Oh, yeah.
And we were really lucky to get him on, you know, to produce this project for us, because the Dirt Band, between the Dirt Band and his solo career, he's pretty busy. So he took time out to record our project and also an album with his sons. And so, you know, we felt pretty honored to be considered in that realm. And also, the other thing about John, it was, he'll tell you, and he'll laugh when I say it. But we were actually going to make another record of a bunch of coal mining songs that we had gotten together, and, you know, traditional things and stuff. So we had pulled together about, you know, 7 or 8 songs, and we were looking for a couple of album fillers. And that's when my husband, Aaron, pulled off the shelf the William Blake poetry collection. And as we were flipping through these poems, we said these messages are so powerful that we can't just stop at one song, you know, as something to fill up another album. So we figured, since we're honoring our family, we're honoring Appalachia, let's honor William Blake, you know, and that's how that came to be. At the end of the selection of William Blake tunes, and once the recording happened, we still needed a couple more tunes, so we went back to the poetry book, and I stumbled across this poem that, to me, told me that William Blake knew that John McEwen was going to be producing this album, because there's a line about him in it. So, and you'll hear it. So I hope I can remember it. It's called "The Echoing Green," and I made it into kind of mountain holler. So let me hope I remember all the words. The sun does arise and make happy the skies. The wedding, The Mary bells ring to welcome the spring. The skylark and thrush, the birds in the bush, sing louder around to the bell's cheerful sound, while our sport shall be seen on the echoing green. Old John with white hair does laugh away care, sitting under the oak among the old folk. They laugh at our play, and soon they all say, such were the joys when we're all girls and boys. In our youth time, we're seen on the echoing green. Till the little ones weary, no more can be merry. The sun does descend, and our sports have an end. Round the laps of our mothers, many sisters and brothers. And I forgot the last part. While no more sports shall be seen on the darkening green. I apologize for that.
That one's called The Echoing Green, and you referred to it as a mountain holler. What would a mountain holler be?
I think it's just, mountain hollers, we used to holler to each other from kind of valley to valley to let people know that we were coming over, or sometimes we use it for hunting, you know. My grandpa and my great uncle used to go hunting for squirrels and groundhogs and possums and stuff up in the hills. And we knew there'd be food because my grandpa would come back and he and his brother would be doing this holler, so we knew. And then my grandma would get all excited and start getting the kitchen ready to start skinning the squirrels and stuff. So we had squirrel stew.
I've heard it's delicious.
Well, not to me. We had beans. We had beans and bread instead. I left that to them.
So your musical background is a little different than what we're hearing now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your music history?
Yes. A.B. here, Alan Burroughs, we call him A.B. He's been my guitarist pretty much since the beginning, my very first live performance. He's been there. And he's still here. Yay! You know how hard it is to get this man on the road? He's great. You know, it's a real blessing. My two previous albums were Rhythm and Blues, and they were kind of infused with Native American influences and things. I chose to be an independent artist because I wanted the freedom to be able to tell our story. I grew up in Appalachia, and then moved to Brooklyn, New York when I was 11 years old, you know, to a city where people thought that Indians were dead. And so, you know, that kind of thing just really sticks with you, you know, and then come to find out that it's not just people, you know, random people in New York. We traveled all around the world touring, and people were saying, oh my God, you guys are still alive? I didn't think there were any Indians left. I mean, we can all giggle, but it's true, because they don't see them. You know, the we're only depicted in Hollywood movies that talk about the past, you know, so they don't know that.
That must have been a culture shock to move from Appalachia to Brooklyn, New York.
For me, not so much, because my mom was always there and we didn't know anything different, you know, so we just moved where the family is, and home is where the heart is anyway. So I do have one funny story, though. I was going to enter the sixth grade and stay another year down in Harlan County, and then they decided to move back to New York in October. So school had already started and had been in, you know, just going on for about 6 weeks, and then here I come in from Appalachia, and I had these blue moccasins that my grandma made me. And there was a school across the street that was a Catholic school, and we were not Catholic. And so she's not here to defend herself. My mom passed away about a year and a little bit ago, but she lied to the priest and told them that we had a relative who, so that we could go to school across the street. She didn't want us to travel. She was afraid for us to get on the bus in the big city. So she told the priest, oh yeah, the grandmother on the other side, yeah, she's Catholic, you know. So we were made Catholic on that Sunday, and so I could go to school Monday morning. And that was fine. I think the priest knew anyway, but you know, the more the merrier. So I showed up in this school, and I didn't have the Catholic school uniform, you know, the plaid jumper and the plaid skirts that they had. And all the kids had, you know, these kind of loafer shoes, you know, back in those days, I guess they called them like earth shoes, you know. So that was like the trend. Everybody had these earth shoes. And then here I come with these blue moccasins. And they just, no one talked to me. You know, they all knew each other, and I was like this weirdo. And they said, where are you from? And I said, you know, and just coming from Appalachia, I'm from Harlan County, Kentucky, you know. And when that happened, they just cracked up, and I got all the songs of, you know, we're going to Kentucky, we're going to all those kind of things. So
got teased a little bit, huh?
Just a little.
Yeah. So the William Blake Project, it's traditional music. It's the words of this Englishman from the early part of the 19th century. And then there are shakers and rattles from Native American sounds. And then there's blues and slide. There's gospel. How did you synthesize all of that?
I tell you, it was pure inspiration. The majority of the poems were from two books, his Songs of Innocence and Songs of Experience. And then we had some of his miscellaneous notes and things that we had put to kind of set the scene. And he had originally written them as songs, so they just set really nicely. Mm-hmm. And I just heard these melodies. And, you know, I hum all the time, and I have all these things in my head constantly. And luckily for me, my partner Aaron, he makes sense of everything, so he's really the mastermind that finds these beautiful chords. Mm-hmm. And then we had, to top it off with the genius of John, with his incredible arrangement skills and stuff. And I don't know if you guys know that John won a Grammy for producing Steve Martin's album, The Crow. No. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Did not know that.
So he produced that. That we were already working with him before that even happened, and then in the middle of the recording and mixing process, he won, so that was great.
You knew you were in good hands.
Oh yeah, I did before anyway.
Why don't we hear another piece from that CD?
Sure.
Of the William Blake.
What should we do? Hear the voice. We're gonna do a song. The poem is known as the introduction, but. As we didn't have it as the introduction to our album, I decided to take the first line of the poem because it's an announcement. It's called Hear the Voice of the Bard. And, you know, he's got this announcement to return to Earth as a big calling and this kind of stuff. So we've made it a kind of fun ditty. Hope you'll like it.
Hear the voice of the bard, whose present, past, and future sees, whose ears have heard the holy word that walked among the ancient trees, calling the lad so and weeping in the evening dew, and might control starry pole and fallen light renew. Oh earth, return.
Music by Martha Redbone and Alan Burroughs. Lyrics by William Blake from the early 1800s. This is wild. That's sort of calling for a return to nature, a return of a communion of, so it's a spiritual call almost.
Yes.
And a lot of his lyrics are like that. I mean, it's they're very powerful and kind of mystical, and he seems to fight a little bit with organized religion, which back then was kind of a scary thing.
Yes, absolutely. Those were all of the reasons that, for me, kind of justified why we should, the importance of reminding ourselves of his work again. So many things that he wrote about back then are still things that we're struggling with and need to heal from and practice and all these things. So, you know, you had these messages of having compassion for your fellow man, mercy, pity, peace, love, unconditional love, spirit, being how to be spiritual, but it's, you know, he was against the idea of organized religion, but he was extremely spiritual.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's shot through with this connection to something much greater than himself, a sense of a higher power, and but also very empathetic. The song that I think you're one of the ones that you're talking about is On Another's Sorrow.
Yes.
Can I see another's woe and not be in sorrow too? I mean, just such great deep empathy.
Yeah.
And the music that you've chosen to illustrate these words with, some of it is just deep and minor modes, and kind of you use the slide sometimes.
Yes,
and could we have another? Can you do that one?
Sure.
Okay, it's called On Another's Sorrow. It's just a wonderful words and music.
I can give you all a quick singing lesson too if you want. You want to help me out with that?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want a singing part? Here we go. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. That's it, okay? That's your part. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Can I see another's woe and not be in sorrow too? Can I see another's grief and not seek for kind relief? Can I see a falling tear and not feel my sorrow share? Can a father see his child weep nor be with sorrow filled? And can a mother sit and hear an infant groan, an infant fear? Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Smiles and all, hear the wren of sorrow small, hear the songbird's grief and care, hear the woes that infants bear, and not sit beside the nest, pouring pity in their breast, and not sit the cradle near, weeping tear on infant's tear, and not sit both night and day, wiping all our tears away. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. He doth gives joy to all, he becomes an infant small. He becomes a man of woe, he doth feel the sorrow too. Think not thou canst sigh a sigh and thy maker is not by. Think not thou canst weep a tear and thy maker is not near. gives to us his joy, not our grief he may destroy. Till our grief is fled and gone, he don't sit by us and moan. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be.
Whoa. That was great, guys. Thank you.
This is Simply Folk live, well, not live, this is pre-recorded, but from the 2013 Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and my guest is Martha Redbone and guitarist Alan Burroughs, and we're exploring some of the music from the newest CD based on the writings of William Blake. What's the title of the CD?
We called it The Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake. I guess when we first got inspired to do the record, I loved that title of The Garden of Love, and I loved the poem. It actually talks about what I kind of considered was, you know, frustration, like sexual frustration even. And the idea of this church being this thing that's bound and has, you know, where all this goodness used to be is now kind of overgrown and, you know, dark and has this kind of stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, just binds you and, mm-hmm. and leaves you still feeling unsatisfied with whatever it is.
Is that the one that has the line, thou shalt not, in it?
Yes, yeah, okay. That's right, that's right. And we found some of Blake's notes, miscellaneous notes, and there was a really neat paragraph which I thought set the scene for the Garden of Love. So the first, the opening of the song is not the actual Garden of Love poem, but for me it really fit, so.
It's kind of an introduction to
yes,
all of it.
Yes.
Would you mind doing that one?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Great. In the Garden of Love.
Oh,
my. And okay? Martha is playing some percussion instruments. Yes. Do you want to tell us what we're hearing?
This is a shaker, a shorty shaker, given to us as a gift from an amazing percussionist by the name of Mino Sinelu, who is French and also played percussion for Miles Davis and for many, many years and also Sting, and now they're on tour with the Cassandra Wilson, the jazz singer. So got that donation from
him. So your shaker has a nice pedigree.
Yeah, it does. It's really nice. It has such a lovely, soft, gentle tone, you know, and it's just enough, and it fits in my hand so I can really manage it well. And it's a good traveler.
Yeah.
And then this is just a rattle. It's kind of tattered, so I put some bells on it, you know, so I've just made like a kind of makeshift rattle. And then we have my hand drum. It's she's temperamental. If it's too hot, sometimes she won't really ring. I have to, you know, put her in the refrigerator sometimes. You know? I really do, to tighten up.
What kind
up
of skin thing. Is that over
it's
the drum?
It's deer.
Deer skin.
Deer.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful. Nicely illustrated.
And here's another rattle, a turtle rattle.
Is that an actual
seeds in
turtle
it. It's
carapace?
A turtle. Yeah, it is. It's a real turtle.
Neat.
Yeah.
Great. So, once again, so in the Garden of Love, and Alan has found his slide, so we're ready to go.
To me, when the album starts with this sound, because to me, this is what Appalachia sounds like, you know.
kind of sunset. The rattlesnakes, the copperheads, you know, not rattlesnakes, the copperheads, the black snakes. Somebody's on their porch playing on something.
Garden of Love, that's the title track from the CD based on the writings of William Blake. And Martha has a background much greater than this CD. You've done all kinds of R&B and soul, and you could hear the blues influence in that. Just a little hair of Delta, it sounds like, in there, too. So it's just a beautiful synthesis of your background. You're here at a festival. You're going to do a workshop in just a minute, talking about some of your native background in music. But how, were you familiar with this world of traditional music festivals before you did this recording?
Yeah, we have a lot of friends who are in folk bands. We all play together and who travel all around. But this is my very first folk project in itself. But yeah, we have lots of friends who play everywhere.
It's
wonderful. It's a great scene, and this is so beautiful. This is our first time here in, well, not in this area, and at this festival. We've played for a tribe up in Green Bay, so we've done that, the Oneida Nation, and we have some friends up that way. So we've played there before.
Wonderful. Well, we hope you come back to Wisconsin.
So do I.
What would you like to close with, Martha?
What should we do?
If you want information about Martha Redbone and the Martha Redbone Roots Project, you can find out more at her website, which is MarthaRedbone.com, or is it MarthaRedboneMusic.com?
MarthaRedbone.com. Just Google. Yeah, if you Google anything, right, these days, it's like the internet is the new J. Edgar Hoover, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who is that? I must look that up.
Thank you so much for
Facebook
talking.
Is really a good way to keep up with us, because we post all of our gigs and stuff, and that kind of can spread like wildfire if we're performing anywhere, even a last minute thing, and you can let your friends know and stuff about us. So
you've got a pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
And a 4-year-old with you, right?
Yes, that's right. And he'll be 5 in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But he's running around here too. And also, I wanted to say on the radio, because we forgot to say it yesterday, that my husband and I, Aaron, celebrated our 20th anniversary 2 days ago.
Congratulations!
Still crazy after all these years.
All right. What are you going to finish up with?
We're going to do one of William Blake's earlier poems. He wrote this poem when he was still in his 20s, and it's called How Sweet I Roamed From Field to Field. And we just looked at it, and I got inspired to do a waltz. And it's interesting, because a lot of the songs that we've done, I kind of had different people in mind who I wanted to hear sing them in a way. And like On Another Sorrow with the Oh No Never Can It Be, I imagined Odetta singing it, you know, and I would have loved to have heard her singing, Oh No, Never Can It Be, Never. It just sounds like something she would do, just, she's, you know. And then this song, How Sweet I Roamed, I kind of imagined Dolly Parton singing something like this, you know, because I just absolutely love her.
This song, it's about kind of a bird being caged almost, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yeah. And I kind of interpreted it in two different ways, one as a woman and two as a minority, because of kind of the state of our country during that time in the 1800s, what you can imagine, you know, women, we were property, we had no say, we had no rights, and, you know, there we were, these kind of free, beautiful things, kind of frolicking, and then you meet this man who woos you and says, we're going to marry you, and then it's, you know, you're kind of, you're mine now, and you can't get away. And then once you're kind of locked up, the metaphor of mocking at my loss of liberty is, like, so powerful to me.
Very powerful. Those lyrics are really powerful. Mm.
So How Sweet I Roamed.
How sweet I roamed from field to field, and tasted all the summer's pride, till I the Prince of Love beheld, who in the sun blushing rose. laughing, sports, and plays with me. Then stretches out my golden wing and mocks my loss of liberty. With sweet May dews, my wings were wet.
How Sweet I Roamed is the name of the song, and all of the music we've heard so far this evening has been from the CD called Garden of Love, Martha Redbone Roots Project, and we're listening to Martha and her guitarist, Alan Burroughs, and it's been such a pleasure to be able to meet you and enjoy your music. It's just wonderful. We
Likewise.
Appreciate you sharing your time and talent
Thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah. Thanks for playing our music on your station, and we are really, truly thankful and so humbled that people get it, you know, and that they're enjoying it, because it's really tough, you know, to be heard these days. So it's really nice to, when you get a friendly email that says, yes, we're going to play these, you know, so it's really lovely. Thank
With
you.
With great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.